Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there something on your mind you'd like to talk about? Got a question you'd like to pose? Good opportunity right now. The best one you'll have today, as a matter of fact. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. And if you live in the U.S. or in Canada, it's the same number, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We come to the close of the month of April. It's just hard to believe this year is moving so quickly, but it is.
It is indeed.
And this month we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the post-resurrection encounters he had, the personal nature of this gospel message. It's not just a series of doctrines or statements that we are to believe, check off the box, and then move on. This gospel message, this story about Jesus, is an actual encounter with the risen Christ. So when we hear the good news about Christ dying for our sins, for being buried and then raised on the third day according to scriptures, in that message there's this encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And it's so personal, it's so real, it's the most real thing that we experience as human beings, actually encountering the risen Christ. And that's the very substance of our faith. That's why we believe, because we've had this encounter with Jesus Christ himself, the same exact way that the apostles did way back then. Now, they actually saw the resurrection Jesus. They were able to see the scars in his hands and his feet and touch his side and have a meal with him and listen to him speak. Now, we're not going to have that kind of encounter, but we're going to have an encounter with him through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so it's as real and as personal to us as it was to them. And so it's in that encounter with the risen Christ that we have faith, that gives our faith some substance, that releases us from sin and death and raises us up to walk in the newness of life. Now, this was the very message of the apostles right after the ascension and the giving of the Holy Spirit. It was all centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Peter said in the very first Christian sermon. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." So what was the subject of this message? Who was the subject of this message? Jesus Christ himself. That should be a big clue to us in how we communicate the good news. It's not about us. It is about Jesus Christ himself. He said, "Jesus, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And then we move on down to verse 32 of Acts chapter 2, and Peter says this, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses." So what was the message of the apostles after the ascension and the giving of the Holy Spirit? It was a message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus is alive changes everything. And that's what we ask you to support when you give to Basic Gospel, to help get the word out that Jesus Christ is alive. That is the word that resonates with human hearts. That is the word that brings that personal encounter of a person with Jesus Christ through his Spirit.
Right.
So we're asking you to invest in that word to enable people to respond to the simple gospel, which is really the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you have the opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus, someone about Christianity, talk to him about Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ was indeed raised from the dead, and then leave the results of that in God's hands. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised at what God does as he orchestrates an encounter for that person with the risen Christ through the Spirit of God.
Indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and it's the kind of good news you hear every day. Open lines, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Love to share the program right now, 844-322-2742. Good question, friends. How many times have you lain awake at night as a child or a teenager or even as an adult wondering, how am I ever going to get to heaven when I die? I certainly did. You probably did as well, Bob. Or maybe, how can I know for sure that I'm saved? Well, these are questions that so many others have answered. These and so many others are answered clearly in Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And in the CD messages, Drive the Stake and This is Eternal Life. Now, these three rich resources are combined in the Simply Grace gift packet. And it's our gift back to you when you make your April donation to support Basic Gospel. And today, April 30th, is the final day that this rich resource package will be available. So don't miss it, friends. These resources will explain everything that you need to know about how to get to heaven, knowing for sure that you're saved, and the joy of knowing the eternal life offered freely and only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Simply Grace gift package is yours when you make your gift today only when you donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can send a check as well, and you can send it to the ministry at 751 Hebron Parkway. That's Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Once again, the phone number is, well, 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Be sure to do that by midnight tonight, friends. Over the weekend, we had a call from Victor. Let's listen to that call and that question right now.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? This is Victor Downing from Tim Riles Church. Let me ask you a question. Are there stages in being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because Peter asked the statement, are you filled? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since they have been born again? And it got me just thinking that there were stages, because I thought they received all the Spirit at one time. And I see people making a doctrine out of being filled with the Spirit. So if you can clarify some understanding on that, I appreciate it. Thank you kindly.
Well, Victor, thanks for asking that question, because it's a very important question. And I think the reference that you were making there is actually from Acts chapter 19. And Paul encounters a group of believers, and I do quotes around that, in Ephesus. And so he asked them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, so into what then were you baptized? And they responded back and said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, and there were about 12 men in all. So Paul encounters this group at Ephesus. They seem to have an interest in the things of the Lord. And so Paul just asks them straight out, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. So he asked, what baptism? Well, we were baptized into John's baptism. So no one had explained to them the full gospel message, that Jesus Christ had come, because John's baptism was looking ahead to the coming Messiah, that he was preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And Paul was simply saying to these folks that Messiah did come. He was crucified, just as Scripture says. He was buried, and then on the third day, he was raised back to life. So let's believe the full story, because the full story has been lived out. And so when they believe that, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what happens to every single one of us the moment we believe. So when we hear the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and our hearts respond to that in faith, we're born again. So it wasn't until after they heard the story of Jesus that they were born again. They weren't born again when Paul asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They hadn't been born again yet.
Yeah.
They were still in John's baptism, and Paul simply moved them to Jesus.
Yeah.
So when you and I receive, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt at that very moment. So, and that's a permanent indwelling. Jesus has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is with us forever.
Yeah.
And we can count on that. Now, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does inside of us, once we've been indwelt by him, is that he begins to renew our mind. He begins to teach us the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. So that's being filled or being controlled by the love of God. So as we learn to walk by the Spirit, we're going to be controlled by the love of God, and we're going to have a full expression of the life of Christ in our day-to-day experience. So that's this process, this journey, this growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit administers in us and through us. So we've been indwelt. That's a forever thing. And then as we grow in Christ, our minds are renewed, and we get the filling, the controlling of the Holy Spirit as we learn to love one another just as God in Christ has loved us.
Indeed. Victor, hope that's a help to you. And thanks for calling. And friends, if you have a question and you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Well, a question from Olivia. Well, let me give the, from Olivia, she listens to our new, relatively new affiliate in Northern California, KCBC. She says, why did Jesus say to his father, why have you forsaken me, while he was on the cross? That's from Olivia.
Well, he said it for a very simple reason, because his father told him to say it in John chapter 5 and in John 19, I believe. Said a couple of statements. I do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. So Jesus Christ lived in dependence upon his Father. So the things that he did, it was his Father doing these things through him. The things that he said, he was simply giving the words that the Father had given him to say. And so when he was on the cross, he spoke those words because the Father had told him to say them. And there was a very significant reason for that. In Psalm 22, that's how that psalm starts out. My God, why have you forsaken me? But it shows the faithfulness of God the Father to the Son. Now, when Jesus bore the sins of the world, when he became sin, he who knew no sin became sin. In his human experience, he felt as if God had abandoned him.
Right.
But in spite of those feelings, he knew the truth that God would never forsake him as his son. And so when he comes to the end of that six-hour period on the cross, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So there was the faith of Jesus in his Father, saying, I came to do your will, and at this very moment, I'm entrusting my life into your hands. And he breathed his last, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. So he spoke those words, I think, to express his human emotion, his human feeling at that particular moment in time. But more so, he spoke those words because his Father told him to, because the very way that Jesus was being crucified had been prophesied hundreds of years before in Psalm 22.
And when the Father tells you to do something, you probably ought to do it.
I think you should.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Come on in. Be a part of this one at 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. We want to hear from you. Friends, today is the final day that we'll offer the Simply Grace gift package And you'll receive it when you make your gift to Basic Gospel by midnight tonight. Now, your gifts have made a tremendous difference in the lives of people all across North America and literally around the world. And our hope is to see this message reach more and more people by every means available. It's why we refer to Basic Gospel as a media ministry. And when you make your gift on this final day or night of April, we'll send you one of the most in-depth packets that we've ever offered, the Simply Grace gift package containing Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and two CDs that will help you or someone you know drive the stake of salvation and enter into the eternal life that he offers freely to everyone. Don't miss it, friends. The Simply Grace gift package, yours when you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you phone 844-322-2742. But be sure to make your gift by midnight tonight, because then this offer is over. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Question from Corey, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. Bob, this is concerning what Jude is actually saying in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Corey asks, is it a call to attack anyone who thinks the Bible is false or that salvation is not real? He says, I believe that within its proper context, that it's a charge to keep heresy from spreading within the body of Christ. What say you?
Well, Corey, I think you're onto something there. You know, I love reading this particular book, the little letter of Jude at the end of the New Testament. He said, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. So he wanted to write a letter of encouragement about the very life that we share in as believers in Christ. So when Bob Davis, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. Christ gave his life to you. When I received Christ, Christ gave his life to me. And so now we're connected spiritually. We're brothers in Christ. We're and all of us who have received Christ, we're all in this body together. There are bonds between us, spiritual bonds that connect us in a very deep way. And so Jude was very anxious, very eager to write about that common salvation, that we all experience salvation in exactly the same way. Exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, our paths to get to that point of salvation were all different, unique to each and every one of us. But we came to a point in our lives, we had this encounter with Jesus Christ through the Spirit as the gospel message was brought to us, and we were saved by grace through faith. And Christ gave his life to us. And boy, it was the most exciting thing ever. And so we have so much in common, so much that we can talk about, so much that we can share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But he says this, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So he wanted to say, hey, this gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ needs to stand as the centerpiece of this shared salvation.
Right.
If you hear another gospel, Paul wrote about that in the book of Galatians. If you hear anything other than what's proclaimed, it's not the real gospel.
Right.
And so Jude is basically saying the same thing, that there's some crazy stuff, some wacko stuff going on out there in the world, and you need to be aware of it. And here is what was going on back then. For certain people have crept in unnoticed. They have crept into the church, to the body, to the different fellowships that were taking place back then. So these folks have crept in unnoticed. They look nice. They were dressed nice. They smelled nice. They were friendly, persuasive, all of those sort of things. And so nobody really paid attention.
Yeah.
But they were bringing a heretical message. And what were they doing? It says, these people have crept in who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people. Mm-hmm. So these weren't saved people. These were lost people. These were false prophets. They had come in, and they were perverting the grace of God into sensuality, and they were denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So they were saying something different about the grace of God and about Jesus Christ than what the apostles had brought. So he said, let's be diligent to protect the message, the purity of the message of Jesus Christ. And that is a warning to us and an encouragement to us and an admonishment to us in any age. Yeah. So 100 years from now, people are going to be creeping in unnoticed, and they're going to try to drag people away from the purity of the gospel. And he's saying, let's have some guts, let's have some courage, let's stand up and contend for the faith that has been once for all delivered.
Yeah.
There's no new revelation, folks. There's nothing new that God is going to deliver to people today. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's already delivered the highest and the best word that we could ever receive, and that is the message concerning Jesus Christ.
That's the message you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're here to hear it today.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Quinlan, Texas, and talk to Abby. Hi, Abby. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing?
Doing
thanks
fantastic.
For taking my question. Yeah, so rightfully so, a lot of focus is on the beautiful story of the New Testament. But I'm just curious, when talking to a new believer or someone who is just coming into it, how do you reconcile the justness with the Old Testament to the relative softness and grace and mercy of the New Testament?
Well, the justice of God and the love of God connect. They come together at the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay. So we see that the wages of sin is death, and mankind experienced that in the garden. So when Adam and Eve sinned, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they experienced spiritual death. And that's just the consequence of sin. That's just what sin brings to the table. So sin may dress itself up and present itself in a way that looks appealing, and that's exactly what happened in the garden. But when you take a bite of it, you're going to experience the consequences of that sin. And so God wanted in the Old Testament for us to really learn that the wages of sin is death. And so we see that really spelled out for us in vivid detail. We see that as far as a lot of the punishment that was given out for violation of the law in that old covenant. And we see the final act of justice in the death of Christ, when he who knew no sin became sin for us. And so Jesus Christ took the full extent of the law upon himself. And so in that act, God became both the just and the justifier. So anyone through faith in Jesus Christ has been released from that sin and death, raised to walk in the newness of life. So everything merges and comes together in Christ Jesus. Also in the Old Testament, we do see constantly, beginning in Exodus 34, where 33 or 34, where the glory of God passes by Moses, and he talks about the character of God, that he is full of loving kindness. We see that in the Psalms as well, that all throughout the Old Testament, we see a God who loves us and his love endures forever. And we finally see that in reality in the person of Jesus Christ.
I love the way you put that, actually. I really appreciate your answer.
Well, thank you, Abby.
Great to hear from you.
Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you our gift package for the month. You hang on, okay?
Oh, what a gift that is.
Yes.
The Simply Grace gift package. And tonight at midnight is the deadline, friends. If you can make your gift by that mark, midnight tonight, we'll send you the Simply Grace gift package. It's a wonderful resource. We want you to have it. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 and make your gift, and we would love to send it to you. Again, 844-322-2742 or online at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.